This is part two of our series, Undefeated. We started this series last week, and this series really came to me as I was studying in my own time for my own growth. And as I was studying, I was like, there's so much in here. So part of these messages is just how I process the scripture and how God speaks to me. So it's a little bit in the face. It's a little bit more like, here's how it is, because that's how I take in the scripture, right? I just let it challenge me and let it speak to me and the areas of my life that need to get better. So I want to share that with you today, the second part of this message. We're going through the story of Gideon. And the story of Gideon made me realize this, that this right here, undefeated, living a life that's undefeated is not wishful thinking. A lot of us wish to live that way. A lot of us hope that when we embark on a challenge, when we take on a career or a study or something that we are hoping to accomplish, that we will be undefeated. But this is a promise. This is God's promise for you, that if you live according to His will, that if you live and you follow His will, your life will be undefeated. This title is not wishful thinking. As we saw last week, you know, Gideon was chosen by God to become a judge in Israel. Now, a judge in Israel is not like a judge in Connecticut, although the judge in the Old Testament, he would rule according to the law of God. He would rule according to the precepts, according to the Torah. In most cases, nearly all cases, he would also carry out God's rule. He would be God's instrument for justice, God's instrument for sentencing the enemy and bringing Israel to freedom. And Gideon was picked by God to do that. Now, he was an unlikely hero. As we saw last week, not only was Gideon not the strongest, but his family was not the greatest. It was a small family. And his dad was a big offender. Gideon's dad was the one who had in his land a big idol, Baal. And so God called Gideon to go and destroy that idol and replace it with an altar to God. After 7 years of living defeated, after 7 years of being conquered, Israel now has someone who can fight God's battles on God's behalf, that God is raising to fight those battles. And God's first order of business, if you remember, was to break down the idols and build an altar to God. I'm not going to recap too much on the message. I really encourage you to listen and watch. It's all online for you. But part one, so it's talking about idols, and it's really important for all of us that we take that first step as we follow God. Now, the enemies of Israel came, if you remember, that's where we left off last week. They came again once more to oppress Israel, and they began to encamp all around. And this is what they would do. They would come, steal everything, take their cattle, take their goods, take their food, and they would ravage the place where Israel was, and then they would leave with all the goods and leave Israel barren. And after the nation of Israel was able to acquire some more goods, to get some more cattle, to kind of like get some more supplies, they would come again. And they would do that again and again and again, coming back for another round of goods. So they came down again. And the scripture says that when they came down, the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. He enveloped Gideon. And so Gideon, after the Spirit of the Lord had clothed him, he sounded the trumpet. He was bold. He's like, I'm going to gather the largest army I can find, and I'm going to fight this enemy. So he sounded the trumpet, summoned the people, and 32,000 men came and gathered, ready for battle. They took up arms, and they were ready. The start was good. And I don't know if you've been there. The start was promising. He had people to fight. Now, it wasn't nearly enough as the enemy, but they had a fighting chance. And I don't know if you've been there when you receive a call, you turn your life to God, you break down your idols, you begin to obey God, and things begin to happen. Doors begin to open up. It seems like things begin to line up. You get the job, you get the promotion, you get approved for the loan, you get the contact, the connection, you pass the test. And there was Gideon, clothed with the Spirit, ready for battle, with 32,000 men plus. It was just the beginning. But then something odd happened. Something that threw him off. God tells Gideon, listen, Gideon, you have too many people. And I can imagine Gideon just thinking, man, it's less than the enemy. What do you mean I have too many people? God was like, you got to send something home, some of them home. You got to send them home. God's logic seemed a bit weird too, because they were not bad people and they were not the wrong people. The logic is there's too many of them. You got too many people. And I don't know about you, but I've been in situations when I thought things were going to get easier. I thought God was going to make things easier, but they actually got harder. Have you been there? When things, instead of getting easier, got harder. Why is that? We're going to go to our first scripture, Judges chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. The Lord said to Gideon, the people with you are too many for me to give them to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead. Then 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. He lost 2/3 of his resources. He lost 2/3 of his people with one phrase. One thing he said. One phrase, one question. 22,000 people went home. That's not a good victory strategy, if you ask me. If you're trying to gather people to fight and you say something and 20,000 people go home, it's not a good strategy. Now, you might look at it and you're like, it's in the Bible, it's in Scripture, you know, it's how the story goes. But some of you would be deeply, deeply affected. You would be so sad if you found out that in the span of 1 hour, 2/3 of your friends on Facebook unfriended you. If you were looking at your Instagram profile and you're like, 400 deep, that's right, following me. And then 30 minutes later, you had like $125. You'd be like, what's wrong? There's something wrong here. I need some counseling. There's something deeply wrong with me. But in all seriousness, I don't know if in any of your endeavors, in anything that you have engaged in, you've suffered loss like that. Maybe the investor backed away, maybe things were lined up, and the resources you needed just vanished. It just disappeared, and you didn't know why. Maybe people walked out on you when you thought you needed them the most. They were gone. This is the place where Gideon was. And there are three things that Gideon experienced in this passage, in this moment, following the trumpet sound, that I want to share with you today. After he decided to live for God, after he joined Team Jesus, right? After he did what God asked him to do, this was not a fruit of rebellion. This was not God punishing Gideon. You got to understand that sometimes you're going to go through hard times, not because you're bad, not because you did something bad. It's not always you reaping what you sowed in the bad. It's God guiding you and leading you to a better place in your spirit. And we don't understand what God is doing most of the time. And this is what's happening to Gideon. After he did that, God asked him to release some of his resources. And this is the first thing that we learn from this passage, is that sometimes God is going to make sure you don't have what you think you have. What you think you need, sorry. Sometimes God is going to make sure you don't have what you think you need. Gideon thought that he needed the largest army he could gather. And God said, nope. And after losing two-thirds of his resources, two-thirds of his armed men, Gideon was left with 10,000 soldiers. But guess what? God said, Gideon, it's still too many, man. You still got too many people. So God told them, listen, I'm going to test them. And I'm going to test them and separate the people for you. I'm going to pick out who should go and who shouldn't go for you. And here's what you're going to do, okay? You're going to go take them to the brook, every one of them, and you're going to ask them to go drink some water from the brook. And whoever laps the water in his hand like a dog, you put it in one group. And whoever goes down to the river and drinks it straight from the river with his mouth, you set it aside in another group. Now, do you realize how unconventional this is? Think about the men around Gideon, just hearing from him the directions. Would you trust any commander who would ask you to do these things and pick his soldiers based on how they drink water? I mean, he has so many options, right? Divide them according to their Enneagram number. The twos go here, the nines go there, everybody can go home. Right? Or the DISC personality. Well, JD, he didn't have that back then. Well, birthday month, man. I mean, you know, if you were born in the first month, I don't remember the months in the Jewish calendar, but hey, if you're born in the first month, stay here. There's so many options. Favorite dessert, favorite breakfast. How you drink your water is so weird. And then he separated them. Now, out of the 10,000, 9,700 went down with their mouth to the group, to the brook and drank the water. And 300 picked the water like this and drank it like that. Which group did you think God picked? Yes. God told them, send 97% of the remainder of your people home. And be left with 300. Out of 32,000, nearly 33,000, he was left with 300. Do you realize that's a 99% loss in your resources? Do you realize that he was left with 1% of his capability? Sometimes God is going to make sure you don't have what you think you need. And this is what's interesting. God sent the people away, not because they were bad people. And this is going to happen to us sometimes. Sometimes God will cause people to walk away on us, resources to leave us, not because they're bad, not because they're leading us astray, not because they're a bad influence. On the contrary, God will ask them or ask you to leave them or cause people to walk away because they are good, because they are talented, because they are able. Why? Because had they stayed, had you had those resources, you would put your hope in that. You would have gone to them for comfort. You would have gone to them for joy. You would have gone to them for satisfaction. You would have gone to them for counsel. This is what we need to learn. When God removes your resources, he's not depleting you. He's replacing himself. He's placing those resources with himself. He's not depleting you from your resources. He's placing himself in the place of those resources so that he can say to you, come to me. I want to be your guide. I want to be your father. I want to be your friend. I want to be the one you go to when you need joy and satisfaction. See, our choice, really, sometimes we get mistaken in this life. We think that our choice is to win God's way or win our way. No. Our choice is to either realize that God's way is the only way to win, or go about life doing our own way, and we might have some wins, but we will lose where it matters most. We will lose where it matters most. This is what happens happens next in the story. Judges chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. The same night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Arise and go against the camp, for I have given them into your hand." Could you imagine? You're left with 1% of your resource, and God was like, "Now you're ready. Go for it." Go for it, man. But here's the mercy of God, okay? "But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterward, your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp." Then he went down with Purah, makes sense, right? His servant, to the outposts of the armed men who were in the camp. Think of the progression of the events here in this story. And the mercy of God over Gideon. Israel had been suffering for 7 years. So God calls Gideon to rescue them. Israel's enemy comes and takes position around them. Gideon does his best and gathers over 30,000 men. Then God causes Gideon to lose 99% of his resources, leaves him with 1% of the fighting men. And then God leads him to the enemy camp so that he can be strengthened. Whatever you're facing today, whether you're facing health issues, relationship issues, career issues, financial issues, whether you're facing a difficulty that you can't figure out how to solve, whether you're afraid, stressed, anxious, or maybe you're at peace, you got to know that God wants to strengthen you. He wants to strengthen your spirit. Now notice that Gideon was afraid because he chose the second option. He chose to go down with his servant. He was afraid. And God didn't judge him for it. You may be afraid here today. You might be here today because you don't know how to get through whatever you're facing. God doesn't judge you. He doesn't look at you. "See where you find yourself now? Now I got to come down and rescue you, huh?" No, 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 no. He will make a way for you to conquer your fear. He will make a way for you to conquer your anxiety. He will make a way for you to conquer whatever it is that you're facing so that you can be strengthened in your spirit. He took his servant with him. He wasn't afraid because he was weak either. He was not afraid because he was timid. He wasn't afraid because he was a man without courage. He was afraid because it was a frightening situation. And sometimes we'll come across frightening situations. Situations that will take the best of us, that will get the best of us, and we will face them not knowing what the outcome will be. Know that in there, in that moment, God will come into your life and give you an inspiration, guide you, so that your spirit can be strengthened in faith. Here is what God led Gideon to do in order that he could be strengthened. It was really an assignment that God had for him, a search. And this is something that I believe will bless you in the moment that you are right now. This is the question that Gideon had to ask as he was going to the enemy camp. What is God doing here? Gideon is in the enemy camp. Think about that. It's so important for us to know this because it matters. Gideon is walking the outposts of the enemy camp. Now think about what he's exposed to. He's exposed to their artillery, to their weaponry. He's exposed to the size of the soldiers. He's exposed to their swords and all they have to fight Israel. And here is Gideon walking, commander of 300 men, walking the outposts of an encampment with thousands and thousands and thousands of enemies. But he wasn't looking for their power. He wasn't looking at their might. He wasn't even fazed by it because God had given him an assignment. As he was in the enemy camp, he was looking for something. He was like, "What is God doing here? What is God doing right now? Where is the handprint of God? Where is God in this situation?" And I got to tell you, if you are going through something right now, and you might be exposed to things, you know, people don't like you. People treat you badly and you don't know why. So you try to pretend to be someone else because you're afraid of the exposure. Or maybe, you know, you're facing a competition that is out to get you in your business. Or, you know, you got family problems. Family problems everywhere. You don't know how to solve it because people seem to be just hateful. Or maybe, you know, you got financial issues that are mounting up and it's so heavy on your shoulders because the people that you're dealing with are so cutthroat. Sometimes we can get so discouraged by the situations we're facing that when we're going through the enemy camp in our own lives, what we're doing is looking at their might. We're looking at the risks. We're looking at what could take us down. We're looking at what's wrong. And there's so much wrong, we forget to ask this very important question. What is God doing here? Where is God in this situation? Can I see the hand of God? See, God did not put you in that position to show you the enemy. He didn't expose the enemy to you so that you could see the enemy. He put you in that position to show you His glory, to show you His power, to show you that He is doing something there in the midst of the difficulty, in the midst of the problem, in the enemy camp. He is doing something there. And if you open your ears and you focus your eyes to see what He's doing, you will see the hand of God. Our eyes must be attuned. Our ears must be open to see what God is doing there. So ask yourself, what is God doing there? What is God doing here? What is God doing in my life in this situation? Can you see the hand of God? I can tell you this for sure. If you're in a battle, if you're in a fight, if you're facing an enemy, and you can't see the hand of God, it's going to be very hard for you to move forward. You'll feel like you can't go forward. You'll feel like, man, I'm going to be paralyzed. I'm going to stay right here and just hope that my life doesn't get destroyed right now, that I don't lose everything. But if you can see the hand of God giving you direction, if you can see the hand of God saying, this way, my child, look at what I'm doing. Look at what I'm guiding you through. Then I'll tell you what happens. When you see the hand of God, your spirit is strengthened. Your arms are strengthened. That means like your body, your soul, your mind is strengthened to see God's way. Let me encourage you with this. When you're in the enemy camp, don't look at their numbers. Don't look at their weapons. Look at what God is doing there, because God is doing something there. God didn't bring you there to quit. God didn't bring you this far to lose. Know that today. God brought you here to show you His might and His power. In the enemy camp, this is what happened. Verses 13 and 14. When Gideon came, behold, a man was telling a dream to his comrade. And he said, behold, I dreamed a dream. And behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian and came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned upside down so that the tent lay flat. And his comrade answered, there's no other than the sword. This is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp. Just a little sidebar. I was reading this. I was like, why did they connect barley bread to Gideon? Right? Like, it was so obvious to the soldier. I saw barley bread, Gideon. It's like, what's the connection there? And then I have a theory. It's my theory, okay? This is not like a theological study. It's not like a scholarly work, all right? This is my theory. God finds Gideon threshing wheat in the wine press. And I'm like, maybe he was a baker, you know? He was getting some wheat ready to bake some cakes. And people knew him because his cakes were so delicious, you know? And they're like, a giant barley bread coming down to destroy us with the sweetness and flavor? It has to be Gideon. I don't know. That's just my thought. It's not part of the message, okay? It's just my wonderings. God was giving people dreams. God was giving people dreams. God was in people's heads, telling them how mighty and how powerful Gideon was. This is what you got to understand, that when Gideon put God first, God began to exalt Gideon without him even knowing. When you put God first, God will begin to exalt you. People are going to look at you and go like, there's something about that guy. There's something about that girl. There's something about that person. They're not ordinary. They're not common. They're not regular people. There's something about them. God is with them. They have God's might in their life. And the third thing we learn from Gideon comes with his response. When he heard that, this was his response. Verses 15 and 17. As soon as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped. And he returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has given the host of Midian into your hand." And he divided the 300 men into three companies. Look at Gideon, just like, we got so many here, we got to divide you guys in three. You know, there's too many for one camp. He divided them into three companies and put trumpets into their hands, and all of them, into the hands of all of them, in empty jars with torches inside the jars. And he said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do." They didn't carry swords. They didn't carry darts. They didn't carry bow and arrow. They didn't carry slingshots. They were armed with torches and trumpets and jars. We're going to talk about that next week. I'm going to dive into that this week. Next week, we're going to talk about that. So we got to come back, all right? Cancel your brunch plans and come back. It's going to be way better here. But here's what we realize. You can't get the victory without paying attention to what Gideon did right here. His response gives us the way to victory. When Gideon heard that God was exalting him, when Gideon heard that God was giving people dreams about Gideon, about him, conquering them over, he immediately gave God all the glory. Not that night when he went to Connect Group. No. Not on Sunday when he went to church. Not later when he was at home in a safe place when nobody could judge him for being a worshiper. It says that he worshiped God right there in the enemy camp before he saw the victory, before he even got back to his resources, before he checked his bank account, before he went and talked to his partner. He worshiped God right there, looking at the trouble, looking at the challenge, facing the obstacle. He worshiped God for the victory right there. Now, here's an old church, old school church lingo that I think is fitting for the way Gideon decided to live his life after that. And I think it's fitting for us, which is the third thing that we learn. Gideon set out to live a life that glorifies God. He lived a life that glorified God. How did he do that? Very simply, he worshiped. He did his best, and he became an example. He lived an exemplary life. He did the best with what he had, and he worshiped God. Let me ask you this. What do you do when you receive praise from people? This is where I get into the part where the scripture just beats me up in my spirit in a good way. What do you do when people look at you and say, "You're so smart. You're so good. You're so beautiful." I don't hear this a lot. But you do, because you are beautiful. What do you do when people say these things to you? What do you do when they say, "You're just the best. You're just the best"? Do you go like, "Oh, I know. I know, yeah, you know. You can get there too one day." With a little bit of courage and some enthusiasm, you can be the best too, Justine. Do you give God the glory or do you give your ego the glory? Let me encourage you today to give God the glory every single day. Live a life that glorifies God every single day. In your prayers, praise God. "God, if it weren't for you. God, if it weren't for your mighty hand. God, if it weren't for your goodness, I wouldn't be here. God, if it was not for your goodness, I wouldn't be here. I am nothing without you. I worship you. I give you the praise. I worship you, God. I want to say this respectfully, but it's important for us to recognize that none of us are that good. None of us are that beautiful. None of us are that great if we're left to our own devices. Come on. If you're left to our own passions and our own cravings and our own thoughts, we're all a little bit crazy, right? It's because of God. Got to know today that if you have received any praise, it's because God is exalting you. He's exalting you in the sight of the people. He's exalting you in the sight of your friends. He's exalting you in the sight of your family. You got a promotion at work. God is exalting you. Yeah, you worked hard. Yeah, you did your best. But who gave you the talent? Who gave you the strength? Who gave you the ability to wake up in the morning and shower and have some breakfast and go to work? Who gave you all that? God gave you that. Yes. The peace at home that you prayed for, God gave you that. The restoration in your marriage, who gave that? God gave you that. Who walked you through the valley of the shadow of death when you had a loss? God did. He was there with you. And he's here with you right now, holding your hand. And when he begins to exalt you, resolve in your heart that you're going to praise him. Now, scripture doesn't say that Gideon sounded the trumpet in front of his enemies. No, it was a heart matter. It wasn't a showcase of like, to God be the glory, everybody. Look at me. No, it's between you and God unashamedly telling people, listen, this was God. If you have to. But as long as God knows that you are worshiping him and your heart is clean and clear between God, and he knows that you know that none of us are self-made, that we're all God-made, then our talents and abilities and our life will be before him. That's what it means to live in humility. That's what it means to live a life that glorifies God. So after he worshiped, he didn't sit back. He gathered his resources, he guided the people, he encouraged the people, and he said, arise, for the Lord has given the people into your hands. And then he said, look at me and do likewise. Let me encourage you today because this is the recipe. You know, if you want to live a life that gives God the glory, I want to encourage you to do what Gideon did and go and do your best. Go and do your best with what you have. You know, don't give in to laziness or discouragement, but stand up. Roll up your sleeves and get to work. Because God is fighting your battles. And when you know that God is fighting your battles, you should feel strengthened. You should feel encouraged. You know, if I know that God is fighting my battles, I'm not going to sit back. I'm going to take ground. I'm going to stand. And I'm going to go because I know that he's leading me to victory. So what's your enemy today? What are you fighting? Can you hear the voice of God? Can you ask yourself, where is God here? And once you see him, let me be the Gideon in your life to tell you today, arise. Arise, for God has given you your enemies into your hand. Is your enemy debt? Arise. God has given you victory over your enemy. Is your enemy strife? Arise, because God has given you victory over your enemy. Is your enemy addiction? Arise. God has given you your enemy into your hands. Is your enemy sickness, anxiety, problems at home? Let me encourage you today to arise. Because he has given you your enemy into your hands. Do you receive it this morning? Amen.